This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
I'm here today with Amy Batson, the Deputy Assistant Administrator for the Global Health at USAID, and Amy has graciously offered to share her thoughts with us on the Gavi Alliance's recent pledging conference held June 13th in London. So thank you, Amy, for being with us. You were a member of the U.S. delegation to the conference, and you've been heavily involved in the U.S. engagement with Gavi, so we're looking forward to get your insights on some of these issues. The U.S. has supported Gavi since its inception, but for the first time at the conference, the U.S. made a multi-year commitment to Gavi. Why was making a multi-year commitment important, and what does it take to get that kind of commitment in a time when every dollar in the U.S. budget is being scrutinized?
Well, thank you for having me to talk about these really important issues. And it is a really tough budget environment right now, but that was one of the reasons why we felt this was the right investment, the smart investment to make. By virtue of giving our monies to Gavi, we are really helping to leverage every U.S. dollar. So we estimate that each U.S. dollar is leveraging another kind of eightfold of other investments from other key partners. Also, by virtue of providing it as a multi-year contribution, of course, contingent on appropriations from Congress, we're really taking maximum advantage of those dollars because this is allowing Gavi to negotiate with industry to get a much lower price. You know, as you know, vaccines are very fixed cost economics associated with them. And so for a manufacturer, they're not looking for 1 year of unsteady supply. They're really having to take a long-term perspective on how to size their facility. How many doses do they plan on producing, not next year, but 10 years from now? If there's a lot of uncertainty about the potential market and the potential funding, they're going to take the low-risk option, which means they're going to size the facility really small. And the result is going to be higher prices and less availability. If they have greater assurances about the future demand and the future funding for that, then they're going to size it at a higher capacity and we'll be able to benefit from lower prices and greater availability. And that was evidenced at the replenishment, in fact, where GSK announced a 67% price reduction on that rotavirus vaccine, which is just an extraordinary gain. So by virtue of how we gave that money, that means every dollar we give is going to go farther and save more lives.
That's true. And the U.S. is obviously making this big commitment, and countries can choose to tackle the vaccination challenge on their own and make direct investments. But as we're seeing, more and more countries are choosing to invest in vaccines through the Gavi Alliance. So the U.S. has invested in Gavi from the start. Can you tell us what you see as the key benefits of investing through Gavi rather than independently?
Investing in Gavi shows the power of partnerships. I mean, as I mentioned, not only does it allow us to really leverage up our funds, and by virtue of having a bigger pool of funds, be able to do more effective negotiations and more effective support to countries, but it also, Gavi is an alliance, and it brings the best expertise, the best thinking of partners from across the spectrum, from civil society to bilaterals to the country host countries to FBOs, industry, all of the different partners that make immunization a success. So by being part of that process, we end up with much more robust, much better thinking about how to go forward than if we just tried to do it alone.
Great. And with so much attention now going to support Gavi and the Gavi-funded vaccine initiatives, it's possible that the rest of the vaccine agenda may be neglected, and the U.S. certainly has a broader view than just Gavi as far as immunization is concerned. So how will the U.S. balance its support across investments in epi and polio and other basic vaccines and Gavi in a way that does not leave low-resource countries behind?
It's a really good question. I think there has been so much attention on Gavi that sometimes people forget immunization is, you know, Gavi is extremely important to immunization, but immunization is bigger than just Gavi. There are all the non-Gavi eligible countries, all the middle-income countries, and their decisions on introducing new vaccines, on ensuring it's reaching a population, accounts for whether millions and millions of children are immunized or not. So it does go far beyond. And in fact, the U.S. government's investment in immunization from its early research spearheaded by NIH through to the important kind of operational research that often occurs through CDC and USAID's work, both through Gavi but also bilaterally, goes far, far beyond. And so we've estimated that the U.S. government's investing over $2 billion a year in immunization when you really add all of that up. So Gavi is a critical piece of that. It really is making sure that these vaccines get to the poorest countries much more quickly than would otherwise happen, and doing it in a way that's the most efficient and effective way forward. But the way the U.S. government approaches immunization really is also targeting a much broader spectrum on the research side, the introduction across all countries, and the assurance that globally we really see the benefits of these vaccines.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today. We really value your insights and certainly all that you've done on behalf of the U.S. government, working with Gavi and moving ahead. So to learn more, you can go to the CSIS Center for Global Health Policy website at www.smartglobalhealth.org.